Welcome to the Leadership Podcast, brought to you by Life West, the Chiropractic College. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Oberstein.
And I'm your host, Dr. Mary Oberstein.
And we're excited to have you join us as we bring special guests in the world of health, leadership, business success, and chiropractic. Our mission is to create a brighter future for humanity, and we are thrilled to walk this journey with you.
Enjoy this episode, and thank you for being with us today.
Well, hello, everybody. Dr. Ron Oberstein, president of Life Chiropractic College West, and it's so great to have you with us on another Life West Leadership Line. Today, I have a very dear friend. We go back many, many years. In fact, I was in school. He was teaching when I was in school at Life Chiropractic College in Marietta, Georgia. I have Dr. Armin Rossi. Hi, Armin. Good to see you, man.
Hey, Ron. How are you doing?
I am doing wonderful. It's great to have you on the Leadership Line. I want to just tell our audience a little bit about you. Armin graduated in 1976 from Palmer in Davenport, Iowa. And then the traveling show started because Armin has been in a lot of places and just, you know, you'll learn this from him because when he's called to do something, he will do it, right? After graduation from Palmer, he went over to Marietta, Georgia and started a practice there for 5 years, practiced and also taught at Life Chiropractic College. Mm-hmm. Then he moved to Phoenix, Arizona, where he was there for 10 years practicing. And if we get a chance, I can tell you a fun story about that, because remember, I flew over to see you in Phoenix. Yep. Then from Phoenix, came back to Marietta to practice, and he also taught. There's something about the schools that keeps him connected. And then he went down to Florida and spent 20 years in Florida just practicing, but lecturing all over the world, I would say, right, for the ICPA and still. And from there, his last 6 years, he's relocated to Spartanburg, South Carolina, and he is the Dean of Clinical Sciences at Sherman College and doing phenomenal stuff. So, Armin, it really is. That introduction is like, you know, being now in education, I know the addiction, right?
Yeah.
You know, and it's the students, isn't it?
It's the students. It's what I love to do is when I look at the students, I see into their future. Yeah. And I see what they could become if they so desire with that. But that's fun. It's a joy to see that.
Yeah. I mean, the truth is, it's like what I'm hearing is I see their potential.
Yeah, totally.
Is it any different than having a patient on the table, right?
No, I think not at all. Yeah. It's the same thing. I see the patient's potential, how they can be health-wise, how they can be, but you know, how many times have, and you know this, how many times have you seen the potential in the patient to be a chiropractic student themselves?
Absolutely.
Right? See that all the time.
Today, I gave a talk. I was just telling you before we went live that I gave a talk. I did the all school assembly today, and the title of it was "Your Potential is Exponential." Mm-hmm. Don't write that down yet because I want to use it for the next quarter, and then it's yours. But okay. I'm teasing. But it was, and it really is. You know, I mean, it's crazy. And when you get, I wouldn't have known this until I got into the educational arena. It's addicting, you know, around the students, you know, true. It's like the energy and they're so excited about chiropractic and, you know, I'm sure that's what draws you.
Right. I love it. What I love is the moment when you're trying to explain something and you see the student get the aha, the recognition, their eyes glow, they light up and they got the aha moment. And that's going to carry them through for a long way with that too. I love seeing that.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Well, listen, I introduced you and in the introduction, you know, I talked about your 5 years in Georgia, right out of school, practicing and teaching. And then, you know, then you went off and went to Phoenix and then came back to Georgia and then went to Florida where you're basically traveling around the world teaching, but in steady practice, and you had a phenomenal practice down in Florida. And then now, you know, you got drawn up to Spartanburg, you know. I mean, a lot of people might say, oh, I could never do that. Like, it's just, you know, how would I have made that work, or what could be there? And obviously, you know, I could kind of lead you in the sentence to say, you know, there was no problem doing that because
the principles of success remain the same. And I never had a problem stepping through that door. Sometimes I find people, and it's kind of like this, Ron, I'll do a little analogy here. If I put a dollar bill in your hand and told you to squeeze it, hold on to that dollar bill as tight as you can, like it's the last dollar in your world, how hard would it be to slip a $100 bill in that hand? Because it's held on too tight. What people tend to do is they start something, it becomes a little successful or becomes nice and successful, but they're afraid to let go of it for something else.
Yeah.
And my thing is, you know, you got to be drawn to where your passion is. You got to be drawn to where your fun is, where your excitement is. And it's okay to let go of things to move on.
Yeah.
That's the basic.
Yeah. And the truth is this. I mean, the truth is, it's kind of like, you don't even know what would happen when you move on. I think the other piece, Armin, is that you got to know that I'm going to be okay, whatever happens, you know, mm-hmm. And that's kind of sometimes having faith, right? You know, there's, you know, just knowing I can always go back and build what I had before if we choose to, you know.
There was that investor guy who wrote some books, Robert G. Allen, I think his name was. He went bankrupt 5 times, but he said he never feared going bankrupt because he knew the principles to success and he knew he could come back.
Right. Well, most billionaires, when you really look at their stories, you know, we used to say millionaires, but now there's nothing. We're all millionaires, and most billionaires, you know, they all had rocky roads, you know, Elon Musk. But you know what? Sometimes it takes failure to be able to sharpen our vision mm-hmm. so that we can move forward. And I don't want to say failure. Sometimes it takes, you know, just stepping out of our comfort zone. Right. And I think
exactly. Because I never failed anything I did, but there was just more for me to do.
Let's face it. You know, you do it once, like, you know, you left Palmer, which was an easy thing because, you know, you graduated, go to Marietta, start a practice and, you know, and be able to be at the college teaching. Right. And then, you know, you leave and go to Phoenix and spend 10 years in Phoenix. Right. And then you leave. But after a while, it's kind of like you don't even think about it. It's kind of like saying, OK, we're in France. Let's just go over to Italy. Right. Yeah. And, it's just like it just becomes second nature. But I do think this, Armin, that, you know, it's our mental psyche, you know, just knowing that, trusting that we can move forward, you know?
Right.
You know, I want to tell the audience a story because I had the honor of coming and hanging out with you in Phoenix for, you know, less than 24 hours, I think. Mm-hmm. When I moved to San Diego, remember I was in Boston and then I sold my practice there and came to San Diego, and Armin, you were just like, you know, all I heard, and we knew each other, and all I heard was, oh man, he's, you know, Armin's seeing 250, 300 a day, you know, in Phoenix. Right. And so I remember I came over, at that time you're in the Reach clinics, right?
Right. That's correct.
Yeah. So I called up Armin for our viewers. I said, I just want to come and watch and be a fly in the wall, because, you know, we both knew that I could stay with you for 3 days or stay with you for 2 hours and it would have been the same thing. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, because there's no magic. It's just watching it and seeing it and getting in the vision. So I went over and I saw Armin, and I got to witness it, you know, and I will tell the viewers this. Five rooms, I believe. Was it five or six?
Four adjusting rooms.
Yeah. And it was 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Yeah.
And doors to the outside to a reception area. The patient can walk in, and then all of a sudden there's the four tables. And from there, but in the back, you can walk between the rooms with no doors, right?
Exactly.
So you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 3, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, 3.
Right.
And Armin gave phenomenal adjustments. The patients were connected. He was right there with them. And this is my takeaway, at least. I don't know if I told you this, but and you know, never change the face paper, pull it through, but just leave it and then move on, because he didn't have time to rip it, do this. And it would get like this. I mean, I was with you for maybe a couple hours and then maybe an hour in the rooms, and it kept piling up like this. And finally, a patient would walk in and look at it, rip it, compact it, and throw it in the garbage can. And I just watched this take place. And it was so efficient. And what I saw, Armin, was no compromise in your adjustment, no compromise in your love. You know, you knew every single person, and it was just, you know, it was just the system was set up perfectly, you know. And what was it like when you got there?
When I got there to Phoenix?
Yeah, or just you know, going through those, you know, going through that, you know.
Well, that's what happened. This is kind of interesting because in the Reach Clinics, Dr. Al Reach was the person who owned them, and the person who I heard was seeing high volume and seeing people, and I wanted to see if it could be done properly and not rushed, and you know, and all this. And so when I was in Georgia, I flew out there to Phoenix, and I observed him, and what I watched, I loved. Okay, we had a few questions, and he fell in love with me as well, and he said to me, if I ever wanted to come out there, work for him, or work with him, or if I ever wanted to just open my own practice, he would help me, or whatever. We just had a nice relationship. So I realized, now I was in practice for 5 years, and doing well in Marietta, okay, and was all close to seeing 100 patients a day there on my own. But I decided I wanted to go out there and learn from him because that was a different level. And I wanted to do that. And so that was my first, obviously, conscious decision that I know I'm going to look appear crazy. And a lot of my coworkers at Life College thought I was nuts for doing this. But I sold my practice and went out to Phoenix because I wanted to learn to work from him. And learn what he did. I want to know what you're doing. And that's how it came to pass out there. And when I got there.
10 years or 8 years with the Reach Clinics, right?
Yeah. And just he went through the training and things like this and went through it. And I absorbed everything I could until I got to a certain point. And he made me one of the doctor supervisors where I helped supervise the other doctors and started to train them. So that was also a big boost to my wanting to teach and educate as well with it. But it was great, the whole thing with that. I enjoyed it.
That's beautiful. And I just want to let our viewers know that, you know, I mean, I learned a tremendous amount just watching you. It wasn't that I wasn't looking at your adjustment. I was, you know, I went in the reception room for, I was probably there 2 hours. One flowing with you, which all I had to do was stay in room two or three because I could just look over and watch, you know, watch it. But when I went out in the reception room and watched the, you know, the people come in and then what they did. And by the way, just so you know, nobody wanted to be in room 1 and 4. They all knew that if they went in room 1, you just left, that you had to go 2, 3, 4, 3, 2.
Right.
I mean, it was 10 minutes probably, but no one wanted, they all right. were fighting to go into room 2 or 3, you know, kind of deal. Because they knew you'd be with them sooner. But the interesting thing is this, that my biggest takeaway on that trip, and literally for our viewers, you know, this was before 9/11, you know, this was sometime in the 80s. And, you know, you walked into the airport, went right up to the gate. There were no electronic tickets, you know, there was no TSA, you know, that kind of stuff. And so I just took a bag, rolled it on, did my thing. And I'm leaving the next day. I spent the night with you, Armin. And then, you know, and then went to the, I think I flew in the afternoon, spent the night, and then we went the next morning to the office, and then we went for lunch, and I'm catching a flight out. And at lunchtime, I had my bag in Armin's car. He had a Jaguar at the time, had my bag in his car, and I had my wallet and my bag, and I had all this. Do you remember what I was going to say?
Yeah, I remember this.
So, you know, I said, as we're walking out, I said, Armin, we got out of the car, go to the restaurant, and he didn't lock the door. And everything I had was right there, and not everything around the world, but my wallet and all this other stuff. And I said, Armin, my keys. I said, Armin, would you lock the door? And he said, no. And we kept walking to the door. I go, Armin, my stuff is in there. He said, no, I don't have it in my consciousness that anyone's going to steal from me. So I never lock my doors. I don't need to because it's not in my consciousness. You know, what I wanted to say was, well, dude, it's in my consciousness. So frickin' lock the door, right? But we didn't. I didn't want to say that. So we walked into the restaurant. What I did, Armin, I made sure that we had a table by a window that was, and your car was right out there. So I don't know if you know this, but every 2 minutes while we're eating, I'm looking over there to make sure that no one's taking my bag. But for our viewers, my lesson was it's not about out there. It's about here. You know, it's the same thing with patience and with and having what you want in your life. It's about what's in here. If you could see it in here, you can create it, you know, and it's just what's there. And even and I, Armin, even if someone would have broken your car, not broken because you never locked it, opened it up and took something of yours, it probably would have been, that's OK. They did that. And but that's not going to change the consciousness. Yet most people move into fear. Right.
Sure.
And they end up locking their whole house down. Right. Kind of, you know. It's all about them. Let's move on. I want to ask you a question. I want to talk about, because all the things that you did and then, you know, working how you work and then you're teaching and working and then you're all these things you're doing, takes a lot of balance. That's what I suspect. Right. So share with us, you know, about the secrets that you have or the tips you have around keeping balance in your life.
I used a lot of symbols in my life. And one of the things was, like you had just explained, the room one, room two, room three, room four, right? Whether we had a door between the rooms, right? So I'd go through. And here was my thing. When I left room one and went into room two, now room one is in the past. The door was my symbol that now I have to be in present time here in room two. Yeah. And that's how I kept working with the patients well. But then I realized, when I leave the office at night and close the office door to get in my car, that's where I left the office.
Yeah.
And now I'm home. I'm with my family, totally with them, with that type of thing.
Well, you know, go on.
No, it's just, I use the door as a symbol, but that's, it was all in the consciousness of doing that, that it was important.
That's difficult. I mean, it's so difficult, in practice, what, 41 years now as a chiropractor, but I was in practice for 36 years before I came up to Life West. And, you know, to not take that home, you know, I'm not talking about being 100% in your mind, but there's always those little pieces when you wake up in the morning and go, where's Mary? You know, or I shouldn't say Mary, that's my wife. Where's Judy? You know, I haven't seen her for 3 weeks. We've all experienced this, right? Yeah. But if you're able to create that separation, right? To be able to really, and what, it's beautiful. I mean, it's like being able to practice that, right? It's always a practice, you know? So that's one of your secrets, huh?
Yeah.
Yep.
I use the doors as symbols. That now you could use other things. It's like even driving home. Now, back when I was in Florida, I had a good 20-minute, half-hour drive from my office to my house. And I might use that time for some thought or some different types of things. But then when I got out of the car door in my house, my wife is there. It's her time.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to do. That's where I'm going to be with that. And usually we do is we when I would come in, she'd share her day. I'd share my day. And then we go on to doing whatever families do with each other and stuff. So,
yeah. You know, and with kids too, same thing. I mean, and you said it earlier, you know, you talked about, you know, PTC, right? Present time consciousness, right? And being right there. And I think that I know this to be true. You know, when you're present, the only thing that matters is what's in front of you. And it doesn't matter how much time you spend.
Yeah.
You can spend 5 minutes with somebody or you can spend 30 minutes with somebody. And it doesn't matter because they're not seeing the time. They're feeling the presence.
It doesn't matter. I'll give you a little story regarding that. When I was in Arizona and we were having the big numbers, like 300 patients in a day or whatever, I had a person who moved to Mesa, Arizona. And we had an office in Mesa, but this is before we had the office in Mesa. And so that was kind of far for them to drive to Phoenix. So I found a chiropractor there and I referred them to that chiropractor. And about 3 weeks later, the person shows back up in my office, my patient. I said, what's going on? I said, is there anything wrong? Because I refer people to that chiropractor. The person said, no. He's fine chiropractor. He does well. He said, he's okay. He said, but can I come back here? I said, yeah, well, you're always welcome back here. He said, well, he's good. He adjusts good, but he doesn't seem to have the time for me. Well, I've always felt you always have time for me. Now, he was seeing about 50 patients a day. Okay. So the present time consciousness is a very important thing. being with the person.
Yeah. Yeah. So, this is what I always say. I say this to, I teach a first quarter class, not a course, but a class, right? I have two classes that I teach. One's history and the other is professionalism. And the professionalism course in first quarter, we talk about, you know, being present time, right? Mm-hmm. And what it means to them. I ask them, have you ever met somebody famous? And they all go, yeah, yeah, I met whoever, you know, whoever it was. Good. Were they focused or were they with you when they were with you? And they go, yeah, yeah. And I said, good. Did you even think about the time? No. I how much time were you with them? I can't really tell you, you know, was it a long time? No, it was really short, but because that's not, they're so, if we get people's attention mm-hmm. by being with them, mm-hmm. boom. But that really means, you know, we are present, you know, not just like, oh, good to see you, Armin.
No, not
we are present. So we talk about, you know, we talked about your moving and the things that happen. I want to dive into something because I find it fascinating because you keep getting drawn to teaching or being in, you know, whether it's seminars, institution. And, you know, I mentioned that in the intro that you were at the ICPA. And what I didn't mention is that, you know, you had a very large pediatric practice and right. you know, you've always taken care of kids and, share that, you know, was that, did that come out of Palmer? Did it come out of being with Larry Webster?
Well, actually, that's a good question because where it came from originally was out of having building a big high volume family practice. Okay. And my whole thing was families should get checked, adjusted, be subluxation free. And I never really spoke anywhere. But I made a decision and I said, I'm going to make this decision and I'm going to say it to somebody sometime. I said, I want to see that the world, the planet can be checked for subluxation. Everyone can be at least checked, whether they accept care or not is another thing, but at least checked for subluxation or given the presence of that. I want it to be done in my lifetime. All of a sudden, when I said that, people said, we'd like you to speak here. We'd like you to speak here. We'd like you to speak here. And then I started realizing that if I'm going to reach the masses and get to that point, I can't adjust that many people. I have to start teaching people. And I have to start teaching people who will go out and teach other people and work it that way. I just had a yesterday here. I got such a compliment and it was so neat. Beth Zog is here. You know Beth, right?
Sure.
Clay Thompson's granddaughter. And she saw me here and she came up and gave me a hug. And she said something to me that really touched my soul. And she said, you want to know something? She says, not a week goes by that I don't do something in my office that you taught me. Mm-hmm. And that made my whole year with that, you know, just hearing that. And where does that go from there?
Right.
It's one thing after another, and it will happen.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm 70, going to be 71, but you know, I got another 50 years or so.
I love it.
So what the heck?
I love it. There was a guy, there's some guy, I can't think of what his name is. But I know he was in chiropractic and said something like, you know, you never know how far reaching something you may say, think, or do today can affect the lives of millions tomorrow. You know, yeah. We know that's BJ, but you know, you throw that pebble in the water and then those ripples go and they, right. They continue. I mean, we're on this shore in the Atlantic in Florida, and that energy is going to go all the way. You know, energy doesn't stop, right? It's always in motion. It's going to go all the way to, you know, Portugal or wherever it's going to hit. And it's like, we just don't know it. And then when we get to experience it like you did, it's pretty incredible. Pretty incredible.
It's a blessing. It is a blessing.
Well, I will tell you this, Armin, I'll confess to you that, you know, when I came to Life West, and, you know, me and you spent plenty of years on the board here together, right? You know, because you're on the board of Life West. When I came here, it was as an interim position. I was not thinking about, you know, taking this position, right? That's not what I wanted. I wanted to go back to San Diego. And I came up here and I told the board, I'll give them 6 months as an interim until you find somebody, right? So I came up here on October 31st, right? And I gave we did our graduation sometime in the middle, let's just say June 12th. I don't even know what the day was, right? We gave our grad. And after that graduation, because I, you know, I was the interim president. You know, every graduate came across stage. I got to shake their hand, or they hugged me, or did whatever. And, you know, and then it was just, I got home that night and I said to Mary, you know, my wife, I said, Mary, I think I have to apply for this position. Mm-hmm. And she said to me, I've known that since the beginning of November. I said, why didn't you tell me? You know, it's like that feeling. And you know what it was, Armin? Just what you just said. I cannot touch as many people mm-hmm. as those 100 graduates walking across the stage, knowing that they can go out and reach the masses, you know, and just preparing our people to go out and your mission, have every, you know, woman, child, and man checked and adjusted if necessary for vertebral subluxation. Mm-hmm. I mean, me and you know that addiction in yes. the institutional walls, right?
Yeah.
A lot of other people might not get it, but you know how they do it, how they can get it, how you can get it to our viewers. Send you know, when you send someone to chiropractic school.
Oh, sure.
You know, there's another one going, right? Yeah. You know, oh, good. I got another. And they're always going to come back to you and model themselves after you because you sent them, right?
You know, I have another blessing with this. Back when I was at Life, the second time I was there, you were graduated, I think. And we had, my wife worked there too, and she had a secretary working with her. And the secretary was like our surrogate daughter. We talked about that. And she had a baby, and I was asked to come and check the baby. So I did when the baby was 1 day old, right? That baby last year just graduated from Sherman, and he's practicing in New Hampshire, you know? And, you know, one small thing you say, think, or do today will affect the lives of millions tomorrow.
That's right.
You know, you don't know. You never know with it. So therefore, at every moment, you have to be on.
Right.
You have to be present. You don't know if the cashier you're talking to in the grocery store is going to change their life. We don't know. So we've got to be there.
That's exactly it. Man, I just love it. And you know, we got to wrap up, but I want to just, I'd like you to share something. Your family.
Yes.
Chiropractors, non-chiropractors.
How
is your lineage?
Beautiful family. I have two biological children, my son, Aaron, and my daughter, Janina. Janina is the oldest. They're both married. My daughter is a counselor, okay, a family counselor, and does that and does it very well. And she has, I gotta remember this now, 1, 2, 3 kids, okay? And my son became a chiropractor, Aaron Rossi. In fact, we had the joy of teaching in a program together a couple of times. His wife is also a chiropractor, and she's Bridget Desaunier Rossi, one of the Desauniers, Mike and Louise Desaunier, their daughter. And of course, a little bit about her is she's chiropractor number 42 in her family.
Great. I know the Sonia family, man, French Canadians and all over Canada. And
and so now we're all joined up. In fact, I spoke at their wedding and I said, you know, this isn't a wedding. It's a corporate merger. So, anyway. And so they're there. So and they have 4 kids. So then my wife, Terry, from her previous relationship has 4 kids, and I'm trying to think how many grandkids.
Right.
So they, and
any,
so, no, she has two kids, 4 grandkids, and we have a total of 6 great grandkids.
Yeah.
So it's quite a bit. And the chiropractors are my son, my daughter-in-law. Okay. But everybody does well. Everybody does beautiful.
We're blessed.
I'm very blessed with it, and we're very happy with the whole thing.
Well, I think one day, you know, they'll be saying that, hey, well, the Rossies married whoever, and it's going to be the Rossies. There's 48,000 chiropractors, and you know, and there'll be another corporate merger somewhere along
the way. Yeah, so long. Sure.
Armin, I want to thank you. I want to, you know, there's two things I want to thank you for. I could thank you for 1,000, but, you know, one is your dedication, you know, to teaching, your dedication to educating, whether in the school or whether with ICPA or wherever else. You know, I have a picture that I keep on my desk, and it's a good friend of yours and mine. And it says, "Life expresses intelligence." It's Jeannie. Yeah. And we're both very, very close with her. And you know, just thank you for all that you've done and will continue to do on the educational center, you know, on the educational side. And the other thing I want to thank you for is for just holding the principle, you know, and working, you know, when I say the principle, you've always lived your life from the inside out, you know, and I just want to thank you for being an example of that to me and to many others, and for, you know, everything that you're doing, you know, to show people that living life is not meant to be hard. It's just meant to be lived, you know? Right. And so thank you, man. I appreciate
you
so much. And yeah, you got it.
Thank you for all you do with everything too. I know.
When I got 7 grandkids, you can thank me. Okay. Or 5. No, okay. I got 3 right now, but when I have 5 great grandkids, that'll be a blessing, right? From my lips to God's ears.
And I plan on still being around by that time.
You better be around, man. There might be a corporate merger between a Rossi and an Oberstein one
day. Oh, my goodness. Okay.
You know, we're building dynasties is what we're doing. But to our viewers, thank you. Thank you for checking in. Thank you for listening to these and being here for the leadership lines. You know, we drop these every 2 weeks, every other week, the weeks in between. We drop the Life by Life West. Check into all of them. Please share this. There's someone out there that needs to know. You never know how far reaching, you know, something you can say, think, or do today. So share this, you know, just shoot it over to somebody who, a colleague of yours who might need to hear it at that time. You know, we're going to keep coming at you with these because there's so many people on this planet within our profession that you know, anyone who knows Armin will just love to hear him. And if you didn't know Armin, you just met a man who really, you know, walks his talk, right? He really lives his life, you know, from the inside out. So thank you. Until we meet you again, or until I come at you again, we'll do with Armin and myself. We'll bid you adieu and keep loving those around you, living your life from above down, inside out. And never forget that you are more powerful than you were ever led to believe. So see you the next time. Bye bye.
Thank you for joining us today. And for the love, commitment, and passion you emanate every day.
Together, we know we will make this world a better place.